If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Today I'd like to talk a little bit about divine interruptions. You ever had one of those where the Lord interrupts your day, interrupts your week? You know, we like to plan. We like to have our days planned out. But I believe that as we are born again and we follow in Jesus, we need to say, Lord, this is your day you have made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. I will let you change whatever I have on my schedule, and Lord, I'll be glad in it. And you will be amazed what God can do through you and for you if you allow that to happen in your life. Because God has a plan. He has a plan for your life. Jeremiah, Linda's already recited, but I'm going to recite it again. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have declared for you, the Lord says. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's God's plan. Now what happens to us a lot of times, we have our plan. You ever had your plan? I remember my plan. My plan was never to come back to church when I left at 13 years old. My plan was to make a lot of money. My plan was to have a lot of cars and a lot of boats and, you know, all the things the world can give you. That was my plan. But at the age of 19, the Lord had His plan. And He turned my world upside down. Because, you know, I realized that for those years when I was away from God, my life was miserable. Because His plan is always better than we can imagine. And if you're here today and you're doing your plan, let me just say this. You need to get on God's plan. And if you'll get on God's plan, your life will begin to turn around. Because He has a plan for your life to prosper you, to give you a hope, to give you a future, for you to make a difference in this world, for that's why you're here today. And if you'll surrender your life to Christ, and say, Lord, I want you to take my life, shake it around, do whatever you have to do, and I'll follow you. I had a young man working for me a couple years ago. His name was Ryan. Great young man, great worker, had a lot of potential. He got saved in prison, loved the Lord. It seemed like everybody I hired came out of jail at one time. But, you know, he was on fire for God there for a while. And he had a drug problem. And I would try to witness to him and talk to him and try to encourage him. And I said, Ryan, you can't keep doing drugs and serving Jesus. It just doesn't work. And sure enough, you know, when you're in prison, you get out, you're on a thing called probation. They check you to make sure you're clean. And sure enough, he failed his drug test. And I went to court with him and tried to encourage the judge to have leniency on him because I saw a lot of potential in this young man. I saw that God could really use him. His grandfather is super wealthy. I mean, he has wealth like that. And his grandfather really wanted him to get part of the business, but he couldn't trust him. And it was amazing what the judge did that day. The judge stood up and said, listen, Ryan, here's the deal. I know you've had a lot of people stand up for you to help you, but I'm telling you right today, if you fail another drug test, I don't care if you have the President of the United States in my courtroom, you're going back to prison. So I talked to Ryan after the court, and I said, you've got to keep straight for Jesus. You've got to keep coming back to church. You've got to keep serving God. But the problem with Ryan was he had his plan. His way of doing things. And today, I hate to say it, here he is, a 26-year-old serving 5 years in the state pen in Richmond. That's where his plan landed him. Far from God. And I'm here to encourage you that you've got to get on Jesus' plan. You've got to let Him take your life. And He'll make something beautiful out of your life if you allow Him. If you will allow Him to interrupt your day. Linda's already shared a little bit about this, but I want to give you a little bit synopsis of what exactly happened. In 2017, we're going to St. Kitts to build this church. This church is right on the main street right there in the main city. Right now, or back in 2017, it's full of prostitutes, drug abuse, you know, witchcraft. That's the buildings. This is their piece of land that they bought. That's what they're, and they were going to tear all that down and build a church right there, right in the middle of Satan's domain. I believe that's God's plan. And in 2017, we get a notice from the missionary, you can't come. There's people on the land. I said, well, what do you want us to do? He said, I want you to go help this 84-year-old pastor in San Andros. So we changed our plan, went to San Andros, and we replaced his roof that was destroyed by the hurricane. And today that 85-year-old pastor is up there preaching today, right? Well, I'm preaching, pretty sure. And he doesn't have to worry about when it rains, he gets all wet. And his congregation gets all wet. See, because God had a plan. And then in the 2017, our plan was to go back to St. Kitts again. That was God's plan. I thought that was our plan. We planned. Everybody's planning. You know, the missionary's planning. And then about a month or so before we get ready to go, the missionary says, you can't go. Okay, where are we going to go? The missionary says, well, there's a church that every time it rains, it floods. They need a new building. It's in Nassau, Bahamas. Wow. I'm ready to go. The Lord, send me there. You know. And sure enough, foundation, and today they're building their church. They don't quite have it finished yet, but they're on their way. Sold out for Jesus. I mean, this guy, he got up like 4 o'clock in the morning to make us breakfast every day. Madge, you didn't get up at 4 o'clock. Yeah, but you know, this pastor is so sold out for Jesus, and my prayer and hope is within the next year or so he has a brand new church that doesn't flood, because now they've got laws where you have to build your church a little bit higher than down in the pit. So they made him raise his church like 6 foot off the ground, so every time it rains, it doesn't flood. And then of course our plan was to go back to St. Kitts 3 days or 2 days before it happened. The Lord changed our plans. And then I read Proverbs 16:9. Man plans his course. That's me. But the Lord determines his steps. That's him. Let the Lord determine your steps. Don't fight against what God is trying to do in your life. There's a great example of a great interruption, divine interruption. Let's turn to John chapter 4, starting at verse 3. The woman at the well, most of us know this story. John chapter 4, verse 3. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to the town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Let's stop right there for a second. And let's concentrate on verse 4. A divine interruption. It says, now Jesus had to go through Samaria. No, he did not. The Jews and the Samaritans didn't like each other. Most Jewish people, that when they left Jerusalem, they would come down. You ever been? They would come down from Jerusalem all the way to the Jordan River and go up the Jordan River to Galilee. That's the way the Jewish people went, because they couldn't stand the Samaritans. The Samaritans couldn't stand the Jews. You didn't want to have a big conflict. So that's the way you normally would go. And I'm pretty sure the disciples thought, Jesus, that's the way we should go. Let's come down from Jerusalem. Let's get down to the Jordan River. It's a lot easier to walk up the Jordan River and go to Galilee. But Jesus said, I have to go. Why? Because he had to meet this woman, a Samaritan woman, an outcast, not just by the Jews, but an outcast by her own family, her own city. Now, most people would not have given this woman the time of day. And sometimes we look at people that way. We look at people and we just see the outside appearance. We see that person that's homeless. We see that person doesn't have any money. Or we see that person doesn't have any potential. I'm here today with that. We need to be open to the gospel, that when Jesus says, go to that one, we need to go to that one. Last week, we were at the homeless shelter. A great place to be where Jesus can really work, because those people are down and out. And we got to pray for some people. We got to sing some songs. And thank you for helping us with the food. It was a great time just to be there to minister to those people that need Jesus. See, because the people that have a lot of money and don't have Jesus, and people that have no money and don't have Jesus, they have one thing in common. They both need Jesus. And our job as disciples of Christ is to give them Jesus. Let the Lord interrupt our day so that we can do B and go to minister to these people. And if you will allow God to interrupt your day and say, I want you to do this, you'll be amazed what God can do for you and through you. I've shared this story before, but I'm going to share it again because it really shows you how the Lord can use you. I had this customer. Her name was Mrs. McKenna. How many people have ever heard this story before? A couple of you. Mrs. McKenna was 100% anti-Christ. I thought she was a little lady demon. That's the only way to put her. And her daughter was just as bad as she was. Believe in. She believed in abortion, homosexual marriage. She believed in, you know, gay rights. Everything that I was against, she was for. Her daughter worked on Capitol Hill, and her daughter worked with the congressman that was really liberal, and he pushed those type of agendas. And I remember the first time I gave her my business card, she goes, why do you call your company Dove instead of Nichols? I said, well, I'm a born-again believer. She goes, oh, you're one of those. So we were constantly in conflict with each other. My goal was to go in and fix whatever was broken for her and get out. That's what I want. Give me a check, woman. I could use that demon money and I can buy something with it for the Lord. And about 3 or 4 years of working with this woman, I noticed one time when I went to her house, it was late. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She was the last call of the day. It was freezing cold and her furnace wasn't working. I went there and I fixed her furnace. And I asked her how she was doing. And for the first time, she was kind to me. She goes, I just want to let you know I've got cancer. And I felt the Lord say to me, pray for her. And I said, I'm not praying for this woman. No, I'm not praying for her. So I fixed her furnace. Back in my van, I took her check. And on the way home, the Lord was saying, you need to pray for this woman. And I'm arguing with God all the way back. And about halfway back, the cell phone goes off. Linda's on the phone. She goes, Mrs. McKenna just called. Her furnace is not working. said, "Oh, Lord, maybe you're trying to say something here." So I turn around, I go back to our house. I can't find anything wrong. I turn the furnace off, back on. It works perfectly. The Lord says, "You need to pray for this woman." And you know what I said? "No, I'm not praying for this woman. No, I'm going home. It's 5 o'clock now. I'm tired. I'm going home. I don't have time to get in a big conversation with her." So I go home, almost make it home. The phone rings again. Linda's on the phone. Mrs. McKenna's furnace is not working. Turn around and go back to her. And this time, I'm praying for Mrs. McKenna because I want to get home. Check out her furnace, couldn't find anything wrong. And I said, "Mrs. McKenna, you mind if I pray for you?" And you know what she said? "I would love you to pray for me." And I just shared the gospel with her that Jesus heals, that Jesus saves. And I said, "Mrs. McKenna, there's a great church right up the street. Brother Cover's church." So I didn't want her to come here. So I sent her to the Brother Cover's church. And you know what happened? She went to Brother Cover's church. God prayed for her. God healed. God saved. Born again. Unbelievable woman after that. So nice. Baking me cookies when I go to her house. Her daughter quit her job on Capitol Hill. Her and her daughter moved to Florida to start a crisis pregnancy center in Florida. Wow. You know when God does something like that, he turns people around. And see, Jesus was the same way. There was no potential in this woman. There was no reason he had to go through Samaria. This woman was what we would call a loser. Why would you waste your time and effort to talk to this woman? But Jesus saw something in her that we didn't see. His disciples didn't see, but Jesus saw. And when Jesus began to talk to her, show her the way, in verse 13 it says this. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water," talking about what was in the well, "will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will well up within him like a spring of water, welling up into eternal life." Jesus was going to give her this eternal life water. And if you're here today and you don't have this water flowing in your veins, flowing in your spirit, I'm here to tell you that nothing can quench that thirst. I speak from experience. You try, Jesus, when God made you, he gave you a thirsty soul. And only that eternal water that Jesus gives quenches that thirst. You can try drugs, you can try alcohol, you can try sex, you can try money, you can try fame, fortune. All those things will leave you empty. Only thing that can fill that thirstiness in your soul is Jesus Christ. I'm here to testify to that because he is so. When this woman heard about this living water, this eternal water, she said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never get thirsty again and keep coming to draw water." See, she was talking about the physical water, but Jesus was talking about the spiritual water. And every time, Jesus always addresses sin. He saw the sin in her life. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you got to address the sin problem. When you got sin in your life, you got to get it out. Because God can only use the righteous. You have to be right with God. You have to give it all up. And when this woman said, "Give me that water," Jesus wanted to give it to her. But he said, "First, go get your husband." And everyone knows the answer to that. She goes, "Hey, I don't have any husband." And what did Jesus say? "You speak well. You've had 5 husbands, right? And the one guy you're living with is not your husband." See, she tried to fill that thirstiness with men. That was her main problem. She was thirsty for Jesus, but she didn't know it. So she tried to fill that thirstiness that was in her soul with men. Marry this guy, divorce. Marry this guy, divorce. Marry that guy, divorce. And after five times, she just gave up on being married at all and just moved in with this guy. And as we address the sin problem, Jesus comes in and he takes our sin away. Verse 21. Because she tried to get him off track a little bit, saying, well, you know, you Jews worship here. We Samaritans, we worship here. And then Jesus comes right back to the problem. And Jesus declares, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is for the Jews. Yet a time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth. Then the woman says, I know that the Messiah is coming, called the Christ. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Wow. He never told the Pharisees and Sadducees that, did he? But this Samaritan woman, he says, the one you're looking for, the Messiah that you guys have been waiting for, is standing right here before you at this time to give you eternal life, to give you that water that you're looking for. And you know, I love the great thing about this woman who had basically no potential whatsoever. She believed the word of God right there. She didn't ask for a miracle. She didn't ask Jesus to heal anybody. She didn't ask Jesus to open any blind eyes. She just believed what he said. And if you're here today and you're waiting for a sign from God, it's right here in front of you. You read the word of God. You open those pages and say, Lord, I don't understand how to get saved. I don't understand how you can save the whole world, but I'm here with an open mind, open heart, and as I read your word, Lord, you speak to me. And if you go to God that way, I can guarantee you, he will come into your life and change your life forever. For there's power in the word of God. And when Jesus told that woman at that well, the one you're looking for is standing right in front of you, she took that word and believed. And I love what she did next. The town that hated her, the people that despised her, she ran back to those same people and said, come and see. Come and see. She became the very first missionary Jesus sent out. And she went back to her hometown. And man, she was on fire for the Lord. She told everybody. She interrupted almost everybody's day. Divine interruption. She came in with this story that this man, who I met at this well, told me everything I've ever done. Could he really be the Messiah? Could he really be the Christ? And she was so convincing that the entire town had to come out to see Jesus. And when they came out, I love verse 39. It says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I've ever did. When the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay two more days. What a sidetrack. You know, if I'm the disciples, I'm thinking, man, we got to get to Galilee. Jesus is going to stay two more days with these clowns? They didn't like each other. Come on. I remember when we were doing a church up in New York City. We were up there working on a church. And the pastor said, now listen, Dave, here's how it works. When you want to go to the subway and go into Manhattan or wherever else you want to go in New York City, make sure you walk on the sidewalk on the right. That's our turf. Don't walk on the left. You will get mugged. You know what we did? We stayed on the right. Because he knew. The people in those apartments, they were fighting and feuding and stuff like that. But as long as you walked on the right side, you were safe. If you walked on the left side, you took your own hands into your life. And when the disciples went to Samaria, they probably thought the same thing. These people don't like us. These people are not very nice. But Jesus had to go to Samaria to meet this woman who became a great and mighty missionary for him. And when Jesus stayed two more days, I love what it says in verse 42. Then they said to the woman, and that's the true heart of a missionary. That's what you want. No longer do we believe just because of what you said. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Did you catch that? Not the Savior of Samaria, not the Savior of the Jews, Savior of the entire world. They got it. And that day, the whole town that was interrupted. Detour. And when Jesus takes your life and you think it's on a little detour, you go with him. Don't fight him. Let him lead you. Let him direct your life. And you will be amazed who he brings in your life that you can minister to. See, because we're all missionaries, whether you know it or not. When you told Jesus to come into your life, he stamped your passport and he sent you out into the world to make a difference. He doesn't need you to sit here and keep the pews warm. We have a heat pump to do that for you. And it's pretty hot up here. I can testify to that. Jesus needs you to go into all the world, preach the gospel. Divine interruptions. My prayer is today that everyone within the sound of my voice will let God interrupt their day. Even today. You got your day planned, right? You're going to go out to eat maybe, then watch a little bit of football. Well, that game made me sick on Thanksgiving. Ruined my turkey. We have our day planned out, but I'm here today to tell you that that phone may ring or God may speak to your heart to go visit somebody in the hospital today. Put the DVR on. You can watch it later. Go visit that person. Go talk to that neighbor. Tomorrow when you go to work and you have that little demon for a boss, you know who they are? Satan's little kid. You know, we have bosses like that, some of us, don't we? You know, if Satan has kids, he's got to be, my boss must be one of his kids. You go in there with the right attitude and say, Lord, you're going to use me today. I'm going to minister to this guy. When he says no, I'm going to say, okay, that's fine. When he starts to rebuke me, I'm going to say, yeah, that's okay. Jesus is here to direct me. And you'll be amazed how you can turn someone's life around for God if you allow him to do that.